The following audio is from Steadfast Church in Asheville, North Carolina. We exist to proclaim the good news of Jesus for the joy of all people to the ends of the earth. For more information about our church, our resources, or to support our ministry, please visit steadfastavl.org.
Thanks, Pastor Ryan.
Morning, church. How many of you are thankful for your mamas? You can clap or something, make some noise. Some of you are like, PGA clap for my mom. Okay, sort that out in counseling. I'm glad you're here. My name is Brian. I have the privilege of leading this congregation with the other elders as the lead pastor. And if you're new here today, I'm just really thankful you'd spend some time with us. I promise not to keep you too long, get you on to Mother's Day brunch or whatever your family has planned for you. But I do want to say, as has been said, in my estimation, which I have, 17 years of experience now watching my wife be a mother, it is a difficult task. It is oftentimes thankless and can be brutal and exhausting. And yet, I don't know a single mother who doesn't also say it's the most rewarding and fulfilling thing they've ever done. And so our hearts are filled with gratitude for all of you who, whether you are a biological mother, a stepmother, an adoptive mother, a foster mother, or you simply spend your time mothering and pouring yourself out for the sake of others, we are grateful to Jesus. We are grateful to God that he has put you in our lives. So one more round of applause for our mothers. I have one simple objective this morning. I want to encourage you, all of you, not just the mothers, not just the women in the room. I want to encourage you. It occurs to me most of us don't get a ton of encouragement out there, do we?
Amen.
Yeah. Often our days are filled with frustrations, discouragements, disappointments. And I've heard it said that under ordinary circumstances, this life tends to shake us like a bully. I think that's true. And yet we need encouragement. We need it to thrive as human beings. I have never met anyone who suffers from being too encouraged, right? We need it. And here's the thing. God loves to breathe new life and invigoration into worn out and weary and fed up and exhausted folks like you and me. That's why we're here, if we're honest. You did not come here today to hear some guy's take on the Bible. I hope you didn't come for that. You came here because you need times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. You need encouragement. You need building back up so that you can go out into this bleak world with joy that only he can provide. And the thing is, the Lord, he's here for it. He's here for it. All we have to do this morning is open our hearts to receive from Christ, who is our endless source of encouragement. And so what I want to do this morning, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 11. That's page 766 in the Pew Bible, if you got your own. I don't know what page it is, but get there. Matthew chapter 11, we're going to look at three simple verses from the scripture this morning that come from the lips of Jesus himself. And then I'm simply going to make some observations about them, and I'll send you on your merry way, okay? Matthew chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 28. I'll read to verse 30. So again, very simple, very straightforward, and then I'll pray for us, and we'll get going here. Again, that's page 766, I believe, in your hardback black Bible. By the way, if you don't own a Bible, you can take one of those as our gift. We would love to be able to buy more to fill the pews back up because people are taking Bibles. All right, we in Matthew 11, verse 28. Are we there? Okay, hear the word of the Lord. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest
for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to read that one more time because it's so simple and so short. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is God's word. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Father, we come grateful for the women that you have placed in our lives who have shown us imperfectly, but tangibly, the love of God for us, an unconditional love, a self-sacrificing love that we see reflected in the beauty of the gospel. And so we thank you for the women in our lives who have you have uniquely called to demonstrate that love to us. And this morning, Lord, as we come to this word, this is, again, very simple, very straightforward, but these are words from the Lord Jesus, and we want to hear clearly. We want to grasp what it is that you have to say to us. We want to be encouraged. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would do what only you can do in this room this morning, by your power and through your word, to help show us our great need and the great glory and power of Jesus for us, that we might cling to him like never before. Lord, we need rest. We need refreshment. We need joy. And all of those are gifts that come from your gracious hand. So help us this morning as we study this word. Help me to rightly divide the word that it might edify your people, and even today, that these simple words might bring some from death into life, from darkness into light, as they receive with the empty hands of faith the finished work of Jesus. We love you, and we thank you for this time together in your word. We ask your blessing in the beautiful name of Jesus, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right. First thing I want you to see here, we'll just kind of go back over them one at a time, one verse at a time, is the invitation of Jesus. Very, very simple. The invitation of Jesus. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. There are passages in the scripture which can be very complex, right? Very challenging to interpret and to really make, you know, understand rightly. And then there are texts like this that are just so simple and clear, and yet they are profound if we will take hold of them. Jesus here gives us a personal invitation. Come to me. He's not delegating this. He didn't say, call my assistant and we'll schedule something on the calendar. He says, come to me. Deal directly with me. There's no compulsion in Jesus here. There's no sense of, well, I'm obligated to because I am God and all. There's none of that, right? Jesus genuinely wants us. Who does he want? All who labor and are heavy laden. Now, labor here has less to do with work and more to do with weariness. When he says heavy laden, it simply means burdened. Okay, so another way to translate this would be, come to me, any who are exhausted and carrying a heavy load. Does that preach to anybody in the room this morning? Now, here's what you need to know. If you come with a facade of strength and success and have it all togetherness, you're not quite ready for what Jesus has on offer. In fact, just a few verses before this, in verse 25, Jesus says this. Jesus declared, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and understanding and revealed them to little children. In other words, he's saying those who are wise in their own eyes, those who think they have it all together, those who put on a facade of strength and independence and don't need anything from God, they're not quite ready for what Jesus has. But he says, I've revealed it to those who are like little children. How many of you with little children
recognize that your children don't bring a whole lot to the table except need. So if you've got strength and success and have it all togetherness, you might not be ready. But if you're tired, if you're worn out, if you're fed up, if you're disappointed, you are the one he wants. In other words, this offer from Jesus is for people with baggage. It's for people with regrets. It's for people with wounds, with fears. It's for those of us who feel like we should have been better parents by now. It's for those of us who wish we'd never gotten married. It's for those of us who are convinced we've already ruined our future and we haven't even really begun life yet. Jesus says, bring it to me. Now notice, he doesn't say, come to a right set of beliefs or doctrines about me first. He simply says, come. Now, of course, right doctrine is important. We've spent the last 5 weeks here at Steadfast Church looking at heresies that even Christians believe, and we understand that good doctrine, right doctrine, helps us rightly get to the real Jesus. Okay, so doctrine is incredibly important. But James 2 reminds us that you can have good doctrine and still go to hell because you have never actually come to Jesus. James 2 says, even the demons believe and shudder. But if we have come to Jesus, we can never go to hell because he has promised us rest. I've been thinking a lot about this. I decided some months ago that we were going to do this passage, and so I've been reading on it and reflecting on it, meditating, and when I see here Jesus saying, come to me, all who labor, come to me, I've been thinking a lot about that because we got a puppy recently. You can go ahead and show that picture. I have to show a picture, of course, right? This is Maisie. I know, isn't she the most gorgeous dog you've ever met in your entire life? That's our Maisie. She's 12 weeks old, and so we've been saying come a lot. Come here, come, stop that, get down, all the things. But and she's learning and she's growing. But here's the thing. When we say come here, whether you're talking to a pet, okay, you can put it down or everyone's going to get distracted by my dog and not listen to me. When we say to a child or to a pet or to a loved one, hey, come here, what are we saying? We're saying, hey, leave this one thing and move over to another. Sometimes it can be a command, right? Come now. But what Jesus is doing here is not a command, actually. There's two ways to say come or come here, at least two ways in the Greek language. And the word he chooses to use here is more of an invitation. It's more of a, hey, guys, what you really need is over here. He's speaking to people who tend to look everywhere but him for rest and refreshment. Some of us, because of the pace of life that we live, we need a vacation about every 6 weeks. And there's nothing wrong with vacations, right? But if we're living for the next trip, if we're living for this escape to the next place to get away from the pace of the life that we live, I wonder about the pace of the life that we live. Some of us escape into novels, you know, or television. You know, we all have like 17 streaming services and there's still nothing to watch. Some of us just get into the doom scrolling, right? And we think it's restful watching other people's successes and the beauty of their lives while we're like in bed with a bag of Cheetos just scrolling. And I'm not speaking from personal experience. Some of us dive into deeper things. I actually saw an article recently, actually two articles, one in a Christian publication, one in a secular publication, about the rise of alcoholism among 30 and 40-year-old women. It came out of COVID, and as a way to cope with the stresses of trying to, you know, rear their kids and teach them during COVID and all that stuff, mama needs her mommy juice, and it's turned into full-blown alcoholism. A bottle of wine a night kind of situation, right? And yet we know that all of those things that we look to never actually provide us with the rest that we need most. And so Jesus is looking at us, not with condemnation, not with shame, but with compassion, going, hey guys, what you really need is here. Only I have the resources that your soul needs the most. And I love this invitation because what's so beautiful about it is whatever it is that you and I hate about our lives, we can bring it to him. Our anxieties, our failures, our disappointments, our disillusionments, we lay it all down at the nail-pierced feet of Jesus. And he promises to give us rest, to give it to us. It's not something we earn. It's not something we are deserving of. It is a gift of God's grace to us. It is refreshment. Psalm 23 talks about how the Lord, what does he do? He leads me beside still waters. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. That is the rest that Jesus has on offer to us here. And so Jesus is saying to you and me today, even if all you have is burden, bring it to me. Isn't that a glorious invitation? Even if all you have to offer is burden, bring it, bring it, bring it. So that's the invitation of Jesus. You guys with me so far? Two of you are, awesome. The rest of you are waiting for brunch. Look with me here at the heart of Jesus, verse 29. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Wow. Rest for your soul sounds really good, doesn't it? How do we take Jesus up on this offer? He says, take my yoke upon you. What is a yoke? Well, literally speaking, it is a beam with two collars that you would use to pair up livestock. I think we might have a picture of that as well. Okay, so you see the wooden beam there, and then there's like two kind of U-bolt looking things that you strap around the oxen or the cattle or whatever, and then they can pull a cart or a plow or something like that. That's a yoke, okay? It's like the kind of stuff you'd see up on the wall at Cracker Barrel, you know? Okay, but also the rabbis used the word yoke to describe their body of teaching, their philosophy of life based on their interpretation of the scriptures. And so Jesus is saying, hey, take my yoke upon you, not because you don't have a yoke already, but because you are already yoked to something impossible. You are yoked to burdens you don't even realize are burdens, and they are weighing you down. Some of us are yoked to religious expectations. Okay, no matter how often you've attended here, no matter how much we've preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to you here, there's still something in your heart and your soul that says, I have got to prove myself to God for him to accept me. I've got to do the right things. I've got to pray the right prayers. I've got to walk, you know, check these boxes or whatever. And if I do that, then God smiles at me. But if I fail, if I stumble, if I mess up, God kind of frowns at me and I got to get my act back together. So many of us believe that at a heart level, even though with our mouths we can proclaim it is grace alone. Some of us are burdened by family expectations. You come from a family of origin that has very high expectations of performance, and almost the affection you feel from your family is based on how well you please them. Whether it's, you know, academically or in your athletics or just in your household endeavors, you've got to perform in order for your family to make you feel worthy or accepted. Many of us, if we're honest, are yoked to cultural expectations, unwittingly. Expectations of success. What is success in our American world supposed to, you know, culture supposed to look like? We're yoked to the cultural expectations of happiness and what it means to be happy. Freedom. You know, and so we bind ourselves to cultural expectations and we work really, really, really hard to measure up to what the culture says means you're successful or happy or fulfilled or free. And you know what? It is totally exhausting. This isn't popular, but I need to say this. I want to speak just to the women in the room for a minute. Many of you have bound yourself, yoked yourself to the cultural myth of having it all. That you should be able to work a full-time job and be really successful and raise award-winning children, right, who excel at athletics and academics and are probably going to get scholarships if they don't go to pro sports first, and take amazing vacations and keep your house completely clean so that somebody could put it on Instagram and cook meals that make people's mouths water and all of those things. And by trying to have it all, the stress of holding it all together is killing you. Now, I am not saying in any stretch of the imagination that it is wrong to have a vocation or work outside the home. Those are not issues that I need to speak into today. But when you buy into that myth, and by the way, this is not just a religious issue, okay? I saw an article in Harvard Business Review called "The Myth of Having It All." And it was totally focused on how the highest achieving women who yearn for children do not have them. And what are we going to have to show for it at the end of our lives? A big 401k? Who freaking cares? So, please hear my heart in this, my tenderness towards you, okay? Jesus is saying, take my yoke upon you. This is experiential, okay? He's saying, okay, unhitch yourself from that yoke and hitch yourself to me. I am in this with you. Attach yourself to my way of living, and I will lead you, and I will guide you, and I will teach you one step at a time. And you will actually find relief and rest for your soul. And here, in this verse, he gives us an insight into his very heart. Did you see that? Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. Now, we know a lot about Jesus' miracles. We know a lot about Jesus' teachings. We know a lot about Jesus' death and resurrection. But Charles Haddon Spurgeon pointed out that this is the one and only place in all the Bible, in more than 1,200 chapters and 31,000 verses of the New Testament, where Jesus tells us about his very heart. Now, the heart in the Bible is not just your emotions, it's the core of your being, okay? And so Jesus has many descriptors, right? He's holy, he's just, he's wise, he's exalted, he's all of those things. But here, at the very center of who Jesus is, his very essence, as it were, Jesus says, I am gentle. Or other ways of translating it are humble or meek. He's meek. He says, I am lowly of heart. Lowly means undistinguished. This word in particular, the Greeks, the ancient Greeks, They denigrated, they looked down on that word as low class. And here's Jesus, the creator of the entire universe. I mean, people are going, who would stoop so low? Who would denigrate themselves so low as to say, hey, bring all your burdens and put them on me and I will carry them? And Jesus says, I'll do that. The creator of the entire universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords says, hey, give me that burden. Let me take it. You see, Jesus is not callous or disagreeable or harsh in any way. Jesus is not pretentious or proud or egotistical. He does not, as I said earlier, look down on us with contempt. Jesus, right now, some of you might be not believe this, but I want you to know, Jesus is not looking at you right now going, how many times do you have to come to church before you get this? I mean, can we do a little bit better than last week? Please, for the love of me, can we just do a little bit better? Jesus is not doing that. Jesus is looking at each one of you eye to eye with compassion. And he says, why don't you try my yoke for a little while? To take Jesus' yoke is not just a one-time decision. This is where a lot of us get in trouble because we go, hey, you know, I'm a Christian. I follow Jesus. And then the rest of the week, we kind of do our own thing over here. And then we wonder why we feel distant from Jesus and our life isn't really working. Taking Jesus' yoke upon us is a moment-by-moment decision. It is a step-by-step process. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You with me? Three now. Awesome. Okay. Verse 30, final thing. I want you to see here, I'm calling it the burden of Jesus, but that's a little tongue-in-cheek, and you'll see why in a second. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly of heart. You will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. The burden of Jesus. Easy does not mean without difficulty. Most of us in the room have enough life under us to know that challenges and hardships and tribulation just comes, right? What Jesus means when he says, my yoke is easy, is that his way is good. It is kind. It is gracious. It is useful. His ways are non-wearisome. When he says, my burden is light, it's almost as if Jesus is saying, my burden is not a burden, right? He's a lifter of burdens. Jesus is the great burden lifter, not the great burden imposer. And some of you don't believe that because your experience of Christianity is trying to fit your faith into your already over-busy, overcrowded, overscheduled life, and it doesn't work very well. And it feels like following Jesus is just one more burden to add on to all your other burdens. I got to read my Bible now, like every day. I got to pray. I got to go to church when I feel like it. Like there's so much stuff I got to do, right? Let me just be honest with you. The hardest way to follow Jesus is to live your life like everyone else in your neighborhood who doesn't follow Jesus and not adjust your life to the rhythm of Christ, but try to stuff in, add on, and cram in all your other religious activities on top of your life. That's the way to failure. It doesn't work. It's nearly impossible. And even if you succeed at it, you really won't have joy in Christ. We don't realize that reorienting our lives around Christ with him at the center is actually the way to lighten our load. No matter what else we yoke ourselves to, if it isn't Jesus, it will never quite be enough to give you the kind of rest that your soul requires. Even people who seem to have it all together, even people you look at that are very successful, however you want to define that, many of them, if you really dig down, you find that they are depleted at a soul level. Because it's impossible to yoke yourselves to two things that are on divergent paths. It will literally tear you apart. It's a form of torture, right? To be physically bound to things that are going different directions. I think in the medieval times, that's what they did, to like kill people, right? And we're like, that sounds like a good idea. Let me latch myself onto this and Jesus. It doesn't work. We need rest. Some of us need rest of conscience. Some of us need rest from the need to be right. Some of us need rest from fear of the future. Some of us just need rest from our endless self-focus and introspection. And the beauty of this passage here, the verses 28 to 30, a friend of mine said, this is the whole message of the Bible from cover to cover in just 16 words. And it's been preserved for us in the scriptures for all this time because this offer is still on the table. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is the very reason that Jesus came, right? To save sinners, to relieve burdens, and to give rest to his beloved. This is why Jesus took on flesh and blood. This is why Jesus lived a perfect, sinless life in our place. The life you and I could never live. He measured up perfectly because we never could. He did it for us. Jesus bore the impossible burden of our sin and our shame and our guilt and our folly upon himself to lift our burdens. In fact, in 1 Peter 2, Peter says, Jesus bore our sin in his body on the tree, right? Our sin is our burden. And Jesus bore our burden, our sin, in his body on the tree. Jesus died in our place for all the other things that we yoke ourselves to that are not him, that will never satisfy us and never give us true rest of the soul. And on the third day, Jesus walked out of the grave and he stands today as risen and exalted, conquering King of kings and Lord of lords. But he's also a gentle and lowly shepherd who is inviting us to come to him. With all of our wounds and all of our baggage and all of our disappointments and all of our exhaustion, to lay down that heavy yoke of trying to prove ourselves in this bleak world. And we will find, his promise is that we will find a kind of rest that this world can neither provide for us or ever take away from us. Praise God for that. As I was studying, I found this old hymn. I've never heard it before, but it might be familiar to some of you. It's called Nothing Either Great or Small. And there are three verses in it I want to read for you just briefly that sort of summarize what we're talking about this morning. I'm not going to sing it, so don't worry. Just because I don't know the tune. Listen to this hymn. Weary, working, burdened one, wherefore toil you so? Cease your doing. All was done long, long ago. Till Jesus' work you cling by a simple faith, doing is a deadly thing. Doing ends in death. Cast your deadly doing down, down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Amen? Will you come to him today? Will you come with your burdens? Will you come with your exhaustion? Will you come with your disappointments and just lay him down at the nail-pierced feet of Jesus and find a rest that maybe you've never found before? I'm going to pray for us, and so let's just bow our heads. Lord, what a gift your scripture is to us. We cherish it. And as I said, there are some passages and verses that are very complicated and hard to understand. There are other places like this where you show us your very heart, and it is so simple and so straightforward. And yet, in our pride and maybe in our shame and in our unbelief, we will not take hold of these promises. But Lord, I know that there are many among us this morning who are weary, who are weighed down with all kinds of burdens. And we are foolish enough at times to think that we must carry those burdens alone. And we were never meant to. And so I pray in these few moments that we have together of stillness and quiet, that we would loosen our grip on the burdens that we carry. That we would come to you, move from where we are, just over to where you are, at your gracious invitation. Lay those things down. Lay those expectations down. Lay those weights down. And that in some small, tangible way, you would help us to sense, to feel, to experience a taste of that rest that you provide. It is not always a rest that means we don't carry a load again. It is a reinvigoration, a refreshing that allows us to get back into the game, that allows us to put that burden back on, but we're not carrying it alone anymore. We're carrying it with you by our side, step by step. And so our burden is lifted because you are bearing most of the weight. And we learn step by step by step throughout our lives to walk at the pace of Christ, to walk in lockstep with you. And if that's the case, we find rest. We find comfort. We find joy. And so, Lord, as we're still before you, help us just to do that business that we need to do with you, to lay those burdens down. And I pray that in our time of response that we would sense the burdens lifting, that we would sense the joy returning. Thank you for this word. Thank you for these promises. And I pray your blessing over these people. In the name of Jesus and by the power of your Spirit, I pray. Amen. Let's be still just for a moment. When I get up, the tables will be open. We celebrate communion here at Steadfast Church every week as a reminder that Jesus has borne our burden. And so we'll come down. We'll start at the back rows, work our way to the front. You can take a piece of the bread. Remembering his body, which was broken to make you whole. You can dip it into the juice or the wine, whatever your conscience allows, as a remembrance of his blood, which was spilled to cleanse you from all your sin and your burdens. And you make your way down. As you make your way back to your seats, come up the side aisles there. And there are black boxes at each exit. If you have a prayer request, there's a connect card in your seat. You can fill that out. Let us know how we can pray for you. And then we'll sing a couple songs and get you on the road. Let's just be still for a moment together.